Welcome to another episode of the Deborah Health Report, where we dive into current health and medical topics to keep the Delaware Valley informed and updated. Last month, we focused on how individuals can prevent or manage risk factors for heart failure and discussed the latest advancements in heart failure treatment at any stage. This month, we discuss advances in cardiac surgery and the innovations on the horizon that are transforming surgical intervention technology and techniques. Here's Rasa Kay.
Hi, I'm Rasa Kay. Minimally invasive procedures have revolutionized cardiac care in recent years, but there are still cases where a surgeon has to crack a chest, but less often, and then usually in a complex case with multiple issues to fix. This is a fascinating discussion about advances in cardiac surgery with Deborah cardiothoracic surgeon, Dr. Alan Cheng.
First of all, heart surgery is for patients that have advanced disease that cannot be managed with just medicine alone or percutaneous approach. So that could include coronary artery disease, valve disease, aortic disease, and heart failure. Some of the most common problems that we have to deal with all the time. Nowadays, we can treat pretty much everything, most of the heart conditions with minimally invasive approach. With the right surgeon at the right center, FAF procedures, bypass, congenital defect, aortic disease can be done minimally invasively. Obviously, as you can imagine, there's benefit with minimally invasive surgery. Instead of having a traditional sternotomy or us cutting the breastbone, like most people will imagine, having the breastbone open, a long incision in the middle, nowadays with minimally invasive surgery, a small incision can be done on the side of the chest, about 2 to 3 inches. Because of the small incisions and less trauma to the patients, patients have a much better recovery and less complication. Say like they will have less infection rate, less pain, faster recovery, shorter hospital stay, and less blood loss. And all those have been proven by many data and many years of work in terms of minimally invasive approach. For the valve procedures, which have been done many years, if patient go to the right center, such as the Deborah, all the valve surgery is done mainly from the right side of the chest, between the ribs. We don't cut any ribs. And then we have specialized instruments and special way to connect the patient to a heart and lung machines so we can divert the blood away from the heart so we can go in and fix that valve or do what is needed.
Walk us through some of these procedures and how it would be planned out and how it would play out, I guess. Bypass surgery. Mm-hmm. Valve repair or replacement, aortic procedures, this can all be done minimally invasively.
Correct.
When you talk about an incision in the side, mm-hmm. where would that be on the side?
Yeah, so depending on which valve or what we are trying to treat, say like aortic stenosis or mitral regurgitation. For mitral regurgitation, we go towards the right side of the chest, about 4th or 5th intercostal space. We go between the ribs, and then we have special instruments and retractors to expose the valve. And before surgery, you have CAT scan and echo, so we know where to approach, and then you focus on that area to go in instead of just having your whole chest open like traditionally what surgeon does. For the aortic valve, the location will be a little bit different. It'll be higher up, so we focus on that area. We know exactly where to go, right on top of the valve, and then we can try to repair or replace the valve. So incision is on the side without having the breastbone cut open and between the rib, to answer your questions.
Aren't the lungs in the way?
Yeah. So heart surgery is under general anesthesia, so we have the ventilator. But at the same time, we use the heart and lung machines, also known as cardiopulmonary bypass. So once we connect the patient's circulation to a cardiopulmonary bypass, and we can divert all the blood away from the heart, but at the same time, the cardiopulmonary bypass provides oxygen, so we don't have to ventilate the patients. The machines kind of provide oxygen. That's the standard protocol for open heart surgery because we are operating either on or inside the heart. So we have to stop the heart and divert all the blood away from the heart so we can see. At the same time, we don't need ventilation because of the machines. You'll be amazed how much you can, depending on the specialized instruments you have, retractor and different things. With the special skill set the surgeon has, you can either repair a valve, replace a valve. Those can be done with certain very specialized steps, instruments, and retractors.
I am amazed. So, you know, to ask you, how have these instruments, the robotics, the minimally invasive techniques changed cardiac surgery? But do you ever have to still crack a chest?
Yes, depending on the specific heart disease the patient has. Most of the time, if I have to open up the chest in the middle or in the front, could be patient need multiple different procedures, say like if they need like two valve replacement and then a bypass, kind of a different location, then you have to go from the front. But if isolated or the same area, then you can do a minimally invasive. But if they have multiple problems that needs to be taken care of at the same time, then you have to do a traditional sternotomy.
Just for the sake of an example, if you're doing a bypass surgery before we had the minimally invasive procedures, how long would that recovery be? What would that experience be to a patient compared to now when you could do it minimally invasively?
So because of the advancement of minimally invasive surgery, there are a lot of data out there comparing minimally invasive surgery and open surgery. So it has been proven that patients with minimally invasive heart surgery, they just recover faster. But and you can imagine that because, well, you have less pain because your bone not being cut, so they can ambulate faster, recover faster. So it shortened the recovery by a lot. And also the complication. Patients have complications from surgery that kind of set them back in terms of recovery time. So because of the small incision with minimally invasive surgery and the less trauma, you can imagine the infection rate is lower because it's a small incisions. And also less trauma, so there's less blood loss. It has been proven that the patient tends to need less blood transfusions, and blood transfusion come with a risk. So they require less blood transfusion because they have less trauma and less blood loss. So there's less complication with that. And also the data have shown that they have less post-op arrhythmia. A lot of patients can have atrial fibrillation after surgery, and that kind of prolonged the recovery or delay the recovery. So all that with less trauma, small incisions come with the better outcome and less complications.
But what's the difference between the timeline then? Mm-hmm. The amount of time for recovery?
Yeah.
You've got open heart where you've got to open the chest up, as opposed to the minimally invasive version of that procedure.
Yeah.
What's the difference in the timeline for recovery?
Yeah, I think the main advantage is the recovery. So traditionally with standard sternotomy, we always tell the patient it probably take the bone to heal, kind of like a fracture arm. When you cut the bone, it needs the bone to heal and stick together. So that usually takes 2 or 3 months, most of the time 3 months. And everyone recovers a little bit different. If it's older patients, the recovery is longer, but on average, at least like 3 months before they can really lift anything or exert themselves in the upper chest. But minimally invasive, we're not cutting any bone. So it's not surprising. Or the other day I got a text, like after 2 weeks of minimally invasive surgery, he used to jog, he'd go right back and jogging and send me a text and picture saying that he went back and jogged 2 weeks after minimally invasive heart surgery. So it's a major difference because of less trauma with minimally invasive heart surgery.
And then I guess cardiac rehabilitation would be a shorter and less intensive situation as well.
Yeah, so the data have also proven that when patient got discharged from the hospital after surgery, there's less patients need to go to a rehab after minimally invasive surgery compared to traditional open chest surgery. The chance of requiring rehab after they got discharged is much lower with minimally invasive surgery. Yeah.
So an LVAD, a left ventricular assist device, you implant a lot of these. So tell us about it, when it's used, how it changes the outlook for a patient with advanced heart failure.
So left ventricular assist device, also known as LVAD, is for advanced heart failure patients when they fail medical therapy and medical therapy alone is not enough. They usually have very poor heart functions with poor perfusion because the heart is not squeezing enough to provide blood to the rest of the body or the end organ.
So perfusion.
Perfusion, yeah.
And that is blood flow?
So blood flow. So when your heart gets weak, so the heart function is to provide blood flow to the to your end organs and the whole body, and also to provide oxygen. So when your heart is weak, so it's not providing that support to the body. The heart is so weak that medication is not enough. And LVAD is an artificial pump in which required heart surgery can be done non-invasively. And so a heart surgeon can insert that pump into the heart, and there'll be a graft connected to the aorta, which is the main vessel coming out from the heart. So the way it works is it draws blood from the heart, and then it pumps blood to the rest of the body. So it improves the blood flow and oxygenation of your end organ, your liver, your kidney, your brain, and so forth, and the whole body. So we draw blood from the heart and then pump blood and provide perfusion, so blood flow, to the rest of the body. With the advance in pump technology, the pump have gotten smaller, and also the efficiency and has improved with the new generation of LVAD, and also is more reliable. So there are data out there have shown that with the new generation LVAD, it has improved not only long-term survival, but quality of life. Patients have less symptoms, less breathing problems, more energy to do things. It prolongs survival compared to medication alone, but also improves symptoms and patient recovery a lot faster.
What is chronic thromboembolic pulmonary hypertension?
Also known as CTEPH. So that term describes when patients have blood clots in the pulmonary artery, so artery in the lung, or sometimes they call pulmonary embolism. For that specific condition is when the blood clot in the lung fails to dissolve and eventually embed into the lung vessels or lung artery, causing high pressures within the lung. When people have high pressure within the lung, it will generate more pressure onto the heart because the heart is trying to squeeze blood into the lungs. So over time, not only the patients have breathing problems because of the clots in the lungs, but also over time they will have heart failure because of the back pressure into the heart. And patients can get very symptomatic with shortness of breath and breathing problems and so forth. So that's what CTEPH is.
So that's not necessarily an emergency type situation. This can be going over months?
CTEPH stands for chronic thromboembolic pulmonary hypertension. So it's a chronic condition. Usually it starts out with acute PE or pulmonary embolism or acute clots form in the lung vessels, usually from the rest of the body. Somehow the blood clot went into the lung and stayed there. And then over time, the clot did not dissolve, and then it become a plaque, basically, a plaque within the lung artery. And then it generates high pressure within the lung. So it's a chronic problem. So, it can develop within weeks, months, or even years.
So a pulmonary thromboendarterectomy.
Good job.
That to me sounds like you going in to get the clot out or bust the clot, or how does that work?
Also known as PTE, is a heart surgery procedure to treat a CTEPH. The heart surgeon go in the chest and then hooks the patient up to a cardiopulmonary bypass or heart and lung machines, and also do circulatory arrest, meaning that we divert all the blood away from the heart and the lung vessels, so we can go in and slowly peel off the plaque at a specific area, so you kind of open up the blockage. And by doing that, opening up the blockage, you reduce the pressure in the lung and also reduce the stress with the back pressure towards the heart. So by doing that, it's a mechanical problem. So you release the blockage and the pressure is lower, and the patient can recover from all the symptoms they have before surgery, mainly breathing problems or fatigue. So that's how it works.
Yeah. So you called it a
heart surgery.
Heart surgery, but these are clots in the lungs?
It's still open heart surgery because, well, the vessel is connecting between the lung and the heart. So it's still done by a heart surgeon, and it still requires the heart and lung machine. We have to basically stop the heart and divert all the blood away from the heart, so we have a bloodless view, so we can go in and slowly chip off the plaques and take it out of the lung. So it's still done by a heart surgeon.
And this is not minimally invasive then?
That usually is not minimally invasive.
Yeah. I called it an open heart and I thought, okay, let's double check that.
This open heart surgery is definitely advanced heart surgery requiring a specially trained heart surgeon to do.
The planning for this and the imaging that must be involved to find all of these problems, these clots, wherever they may be. How do you prepare for these complex procedures? What are the mapping tools and the planning tools that you use? And how have those advanced?
There are a lot of preparations before surgery. We have the standard pre-op testing and all that. But the image modality has been very important for both pre-op, intra-op, or post-op care. But the main one that we use is echo, CT scan, MRI, and nuclear tests. And they all serve different purposes. But it's important to have the right tests to make the right diagnosis and to provide a treatment. So the image modality has advanced, which not only provide 2D, but also 3D construction, so we know exactly what needs to be done and what should we do.
3D printing, virtual reality, artificial intelligence, all the stuff the kids do. Do you use all these tools and how?
Not all the time. For example, 3D printing is useful for congenital defects. Or sometimes we need it to recreate a model. 3D printing is combining all the image data, either from echo, CT scan, or MRI, and then generate a 3D model. Say like if the patient have a very complex congenital defect, so we create a 3D model, so you print it out so the surgeon can hold it, study it, and also to understand how the connection between the defect is. It helps the surgeon when we get into complex congenital case, surgeons can understand what needs to be done. But also, the 3D model also helps the patient and family to understand exactly how it looks like in real life. And usually that helps them to understand not just the patient, but also the family to understand the exact situation, why things need to be done. And usually that helps them through the recovery process too.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, but you're not 3D printing anything that's ever going into the human
body. No, it's rare still. And it's not needed right now.
Let's 3D print you a new valve.
Yeah. We have standard valves, well preserved by different companies. So it's all, we have different size. So we don't need to 3D print.
All right. So virtual reality, how is that helping you in your reality?
I think virtual reality, at least in my world for heart surgery, is helpful for education, to educate not just medical student residents or fellow, but also the staff within the operating room, like what exactly will happen and what needs to be done and what kind of instruments need to be provided. I think it's a good tool for education and training, I think.
All right, artificial intelligence, are you using that? And what are the parameters, the cautions, the limitations of AI for you at this point?
Yeah, I think artificial intelligence is still in the early phase, at least for heart surgery. But I think the use of artificial intelligence will advance and be used more and more down the line. But just to give you an example, artificial intelligence has been used to improve workflow. So basically it can document and create clinic notes just by listening to the interview or conversation between the patient and the physicians. So it helps with the workflow. It allows the physician to spend more time taking care of the patients. So that has started already. And also I think artificial intelligence down the line or for the future, it is very good at combining data and analyzing it and help us to predict the outcome if certain intervention is done and help us make medical decisions. But I think it's still an early phase in terms of using it in cardiac surgery. I think it will assist the physicians to look at so much data and analyze it and provide some kind of feedback in terms of the timing or what kind of intervention and the right treatments.
That was Deborah, cardiothoracic surgeon, Dr. Alan Cheng. Join us next month when we continue our conversation with a peek into the operating room and a deep dive into how the minimally invasive transformation of cardio care impacts the patient experience right through recovery. As always, it drops the first Wednesday of the month. I'm Rasa Kay.
You can always listen to all of the informative Deborah Doctor interviews at DeborahHealthReport.com. Schedule an appointment at DemandDeborah.org.